Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. We know in the scripture there's a interpretation and application, and today I'm going to use this as an application. We're going to read about the prodigal son. Verse 11, and a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followeth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called of thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And we look to the Lord to bless that which he has laid on our hearts today. As you come to a conference, you wonder what you will speak about. But the Lord knows, the Spirit of God knows each heart that is here today. He knows each need that is here today. And we look to him to guide us in our thoughts. So today I want to look at the prodigal son. We want to look at the setting that we have here, and it is simply this: a family and two sons. One left, one stayed behind. And as we would speak of the son and the difficulty that was there, perhaps we have those that have a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. And we trust that if you do, that you'll get some comfort from what we will look at today. And by the way, if there's somebody here that has a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, we do too. We are family, and we mustn't forget that. Don't forget to pray for those that have left home and left loved ones. We would analyze the situation that we have here, and as we think even of a local assembly, and as there becomes difficulties or a certain individual seems to be wandering, shepherds, you need to know the heart of the flock, and you need to look and see and try to figure what is happening. So as we would analyze it, we would, after reading it, we know the rest of the story. We know the story. So we can go through and analyze it. And as you look at it, I think we would see that what is on the surface is not always the problem, nor is it always the source of the problem. Sometimes we hear people that go to the doctor and they come back and they say that the doctor says that they have cancer. However, they will say that this is not the source of the problem. This is not the primary root of the problem. And as believers, we need to, with our own heart as well, know what the source of the problem is. Well, the problem, I would think, is self. Here is a young man. He came to his father. He He is full of self. He's self-centered. And he has selfish desires. Father, give me. Give me. His prayer, his priorities, his request. Give me. You know, usually he said, give me the inheritance that comes to me. Usually we don't get an inheritance until the parents are passed away. However, we have seen it in our little lifetime that a son, a daughter will come to the parents. Give me 100,000. I want to invest. I want to get ahead in life. And really what they're asking for is their inheritance. And I don't think I've ever seen one that has turned out good. They just keep going for more. Father, give me. We need to be careful when we pray. We need to be careful what we are asking for. The Father hears us, and the Father knows. The children of Israel, you know, they really didn't pray, but they complained. And God took it as a prayer. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 106 and 15 that it says that he gave them, that is, God gave Israel the request. He gave them the desire of their heart. But he sent leanness into their soul. Yeah. When an individual gets away from God, leanness comes in to the soul. That verse takes us back to Numbers chapter 11. And there the children of Israel were complaining about the manna. We need flesh. And if you read it, they had quails. You know, if you're a hunter, you know, you hope you find the odd quail. But the children of Israel, they had quails this deep from as far as the eye could see. And it says that even as they ate it, it rotted in their teeth. Be careful what we pray for. Be careful what we are telling God we want. It seems like when service is no longer a perfect freedom to serve the Lord, one wants his own independence from God. He seeks his own master. Sometimes, I haven't heard it lately, so you know what generation I'm in, but we often used to hear, the grass is always greener on the other side. No, it's not. But not only humans feel that way, but you see sometimes cattle, they got a whole pasture of green grass, and they are stretching through the fence just to get that on the other side. Man promises himself that things are better elsewhere. But somebody has written down that he exchanges a light yoke for a heavy one, and a gracious master for a tyrant. And if you look at the prodigal son, what a picture. So he was selfish. But if you really look at the problem, that is only the secondary problem. That's not the primary problem. Yes, he was selfish. I think you will realize that the primary problem is his affections, his heart. His heart has gone wrong. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 would remind us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then God says, who can know it? And sometimes we don't understand the deceitfulness and the wickedness of our own heart. And there's times when a dear brother or a dear sister will come along and perhaps just tap us on the shoulder and would ask us a question as to our life or where the path has taken us, where we're on. And we become all tight inside and we don't like to hear it. And so God says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now he answers that question in verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. I, the Lord, search and know the heart. If you are wondering about your own heart, our heart, get on your knees before God. If you feel that you are getting cold and away from the Lord, take time before God. Lay it out before the Lord, and He will show us. We have a wonderful Father. He loves us, and He doesn't want us to become a prodigal. Matthew 6 and 24 would remind us that no man can serve two masters. You understand, younger people, even as a child of God, we can serve Satan. Now, we can put the Lord to one side, and we can live the life of the flesh. It's interesting in Proverbs 23, the Lord says, "My son, my child, give me thine heart." He doesn't ask for our money. He doesn't ask for our time. He doesn't ask for our talents. "My child, give me thine heart." And when God has our heart, He has us. It might do us well, as we go home tonight, just to take a look in a mirror. Take a look at ourselves. And ask ourselves the question, who has my heart? Who has my heart? "My son, give me thine heart." This problem with the prodigal son didn't happen overnight. You know, there are perhaps through the eye gate, we begin to see things that distract us from the things of God. And when that happens, we need to take it to the Lord. Say, "Lord, preserve me." But with the prodigal son, no doubt, thoughts came to his mind. "Now, this is just too tough working for Dad." And perhaps he's heard, not through Facebook, or somebody didn't text him, but throughout the ages, men can hear what is happening around about. And he heard about the big city and the bright lights and all that was there. And here, he has to get up every morning and go to work and serve his father. The problem didn't happen overnight. You know that milk doesn't sour overnight. It takes time. And in that time, you can be absolutely sure that when an individual is thinking of moving out and moving away, that the Spirit of God will touch their hearts. The Spirit of God will bring others alongside and remind them and try to encourage them. God will not let an individual go without working in his life and stirring the heart. We, as individuals, must be aware of the symptoms in our own heart. And usually if it's an individual that leaves home or leaves the assembly, there's usually a lack of spiritual interest. You begin to see it waver. And again, shepherds of the flock, be watching for those things and come alongside. By the way, if you come alongside and encourage an individual, they are more apt to hear you when you need to give them a little word of exhortation, but encourage them. He got what he thought he wanted. And he left home. He said, "It wasn't many days." And he packed up, and I'm out of here. Verse 13 said, he lived a riotous life. That lifestyle has changed from his day to ours. But all that goes with the lifestyle out there, we are so preserved and so protected from such wickedness. But it says a riotous living. It's to spend, to waste, to squander, and to walk away from God. God Don't know how long it was before God began to speak to this young man. But God does not let us go. Sometimes we forget of the prodigal. But our Father does not forget. And God began to work in his life. He worked circumstances within his life. And first of all, you see, he went out and he spent and he squandered. But listen, God took away his finances. And then God took away his friends. And then he had no food. And as he looked at all this thing, it finally got a hold of him that he had no future. Nothing. Is the grass greener on the other side? No, it's not. He had nothing. Fellow believer, if you have a prodigal out there, don't be discouraged when you try to win him back. And perhaps there's an individual that has gone out and tried to speak to those that are the prodigals. And you come away and you feel like, what's the use? But you know, the person just may not be ready to come back yet. But the individuals that God uses to touch their lives, it's a stepping stone. So don't ever think it's been a waste of time. Dr. Bill Anderson of the Arlington Assembly, he was brought up in Tacoma. And then the Tacoma Assembly, he went to university, got his doctor's degree, and he married a Lutheran girl, and he left the assembly and went to the Lutheran church. But there was a man in Vancouver, and his name was Jim Bell. And Dr. Bill would tell me that Jim Bell, no matter hardly where he would go on vacation, he would make his way back to where Dr. Bill Anderson was. Him and Jim Bell and Dr. Bill Anderson were good friends when they were younger. And God used Jim Bell. And Jim would go out of his way to pay Dr. Bill a visit and speak to him about his spiritual needs. And through the years, Dr. Bill started to turn around. And one thing I think they asked him to leave the Lutheran church because he started telling them they need to have the gospel. And they found out that when Dr. Bill, they said, well, you be the gospel man. And they soon found out they didn't like the gospel. Through the years, Bill ended up in Arlington. But there's men like Jim Bell. And if God has laid it on your heart, you go out of your way to touch the heart and the life of the prodigal. Verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. The poor guy, he would have put his head down and says, of all the luck, I have had. Not even a prodigal has luck. God is with him. So is there a dilemma? Or is God using circumstances to bring him back? For the son, he was out of control. But for our Father, he is always in control. And God sent a famine to touch the heart of this young man. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, you know what that means? Yeah. He took a little time to get away from his circumstances. In fact, he didn't get away. God took him away. And as he sat there in the pig pen, his heart and his mind went back home. God was touching his heart. God reminded him of the green grass back home. It would have been something to be there.
To look at that fellow. You can never know what was going on in his mind. But there he is sitting. And he's thinking.
Now the Father is there. But the enemy of the soul will be there also.
And he thinks to himself.
In verse 17 he says, "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." What a place. But it's not all that easy. The enemy of the soul is there. Satan will be there. And Satan will begin to put doubts and questions in his mind. His plan was this. I will confess. In fact, he took full blame. No excuses. He didn't blame anybody else. He is now ready to come back. I have sinned. And isn't it neat to see? I have sinned before God. All sin is against God. And I have sinned against my Father. I will go back. We were reminded that getting away doesn't happen overnight. And getting back doesn't happen overnight. Just use your imagination a little bit. Here is this boy, and he can't jump on a motorbike, nor a Mustang car. And how far he is away from home, I'm not sure. But he has got up from the pig pen. And there, well, I can say there in his old denim, he'd be pretty popular today. We're in blue jeans with holes in them, but that day it wasn't very popular. And here he is, shabby and dirty. I'm going to go home. And as he begins to make his way home, the enemy of the soul, Satan will say, "Look, your dad's loved me. You think they're going to take you back? You think your dad would forgive you? Perhaps it's a prodigal daughter, and she's expecting a child. And Satan says, they'll never take you back. Look at what you've brought on to the name of your family. They're a very popular family." And Satan will work. And sometimes even as we pray, Satan will try to discourage us. But God works. And greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. He goes back. The restoration. Verse 19 and 21. Verse 19 said, "I am no more worthy to be called thy son." Does that sound like a proud heart? No, a humble heart. God has worked on his heart. And here is a humble heart. Verse 21. "And the son said unto him, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy servants." And in verse 17 and 20 we have restoration. Restoration to God and restoration to the Father, to the home. Verse 20, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off," question.
If a prodigal is coming back, and he was a great way off, how many of us would see him? Are we looking for him? Shame on us if we have forgotten the prodigal. The Father never forgot.
I'm not sure why the Father didn't go. There's a purpose in it all. But the Father was looking. And the Father was praying. And the Father was waiting. Are we? Get a prayer list. Get those names down so we don't forget them. What a great ending. He comes home. So, there is a question. Away from the Lord, who? Me? Can I be away from the Lord? Well, let's read the rest of the story. Verse 25. I remember, the son had come home, and there was happiness, there was singing, and now in verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Away from the Lord. Who? Me? So let us look at the elder son. Let us observe his life. Verse 29, all the things that he said were right. He says, you know, I have been faithful. I have never left. I have worked hard. And as we would look at the elder son, we would look at him and say, everything is going great. Things seem to be just right in his life. However, God again used circumstances to reveal the truth of the heart. And the circumstances this time was the son come home. The father was happy. And God used that to expose the elder son and his heart. The problem? Yeah. He had a heart problem. He was self-centered. You look at verse 29. How many times? I, me, my, I. All about himself. Yes. He was self-centered. But he was faithful. But he had a bad attitude. He was angry. He was not joyful. He was festering inside. He lost his joy. So let's just pause a minute. Each one of us could maybe in our mind look up to somebody that is away from the Lord. And we all must say, no, not me. And we are here and we are in the assembly and we're taking part. But we need to look in the mirror and say, Lord, who has my heart? Lord, am I full of joy? Am I happy to be doing these things? Or do I feel a grudge about it? Where am I? Isn't it amazing that the Lord gives us such a wonderful picture in just a local family and two boys? So much to learn from them. He had no forgiveness. In fact, when he talked to his dad, he said, this, thy son. He wouldn't even call him his brother. That's how bad his heart was. And his father had to remind him that they were rejoicing because this, thy brother, has come home. So how are we doing? How is our heart? Sometimes we don't understand, and others can see it. Don't be upset if somebody comes. You know, it's never easy to come to an individual when there's a problem. You don't want to offend them. You want to be their friend. But they need to know. Sometimes you come and I guess I talk from experience. You're nervous, and no doubt you sound nervous. You may be a little bit short, and you don't want to be. But remember, if God has brought a brother or a sister to you, and just kind of remind you that maybe you begin to wander, you thank that individual, and you thank God. And you go home and ask the Lord, where do I stand? Where am I? Away from the Lord? Who? Me? Check your heart today.